On a recent Friday, four-year-olds eat lunch family style in their classroom at Busy Bees Academy in Columbus. The class is small, just 16 students, and every room has one teacher and two aides. Executive Director Kathy King says few preschools can offer such a low student-to-teacher ratio.
That allows our students to have a lot of small group work, a lot of individualized attention.
Half of the 180 students here pay full tuition, $80 per week. The other 90 students come from low-income families and pay just $5 a week. The Bartholomew Consolidated School Corporation and a group of business and community leaders kick in the rest. Governor-elect Mike Pence called Busy Bees a model for building public-private partnerships to fund pre-K.
My one overriding principle is I don't want to replace what is happening in communities around the state of Indiana. Faith-based organizations, private philanthropy organizations, simply private efforts supported by local businesses to provide pre-K.
Pence says the Columbus program is just one example of a local, organic solution to Indiana's preschool problem. But capacity is a real concern. So many families want to attend Busy Bees, the school has to run a lottery, and fewer than half the students get accepted. Plans to expand the program are on hold after voters rejected a tax levy increase to pay for pre-K. Community Education Coalition President John Burnett says his nonprofit will continue to fund scholarships for needy students, but he's worried that without public funding, some kids will slip through the cracks.
A third of our children aren't ready when they're coming into kindergarten. It's going to be tough between kindergarten and third grade to prepare them as well as we could if we were offering a pre-K for four-year-olds.
About 13,000 Indiana students attend preschool programs through Head Start. Another 18,000 3- to 5-year-olds qualify for federal special education dollars. But most kids go to private programs, and that makes it hard to say how many are enrolled in some sort of preschool. Claire McCann researches early education funding for the New America Foundation. She says the lack of a uniform option can become a problem down the road for kindergarten teachers.
Students who are in those programs might be going to a school district where most of the kids probably didn't come from a similar background in early learning. You have no way of controlling for the quality of that program.
McCann says funding for early education is down across the country, even in states that do a better job of paying for pre-K than Indiana. State lawmakers just approved funding for all-day kindergarten, and they say there's just not money in the budget for another year of school. That's why some early education advocates are pessimistic moving forward.
Without funding, efforts to really deal with early childhood education, I think, are destined to have very limited impact. It's not to say it's not worthwhile, it's beneficial for those kids, applaud the people who do it. But if we're going to really tackle this issue, we need to put public money into it.
That's David Harris, co-founder and CEO of the Mind Trust, an Indianapolis area nonprofit whose proposal to overhaul Indianapolis public schools calls for universal pre-K. Last month, the IPS school board approved $6 million to send about 1,300 students to preschool. That falls short of the $14 million Harris estimates it would take to enroll every four-year-old in the district for half a day. But another early education advocate, Ted Maple of the United Way of Central Indiana, is cautiously optimistic about the future.
We had the House Republicans come out with their 2013 agenda, and one of the things they talked about were vouchers for pre-K.
Maple says Indiana already has a very good rating system for child care providers, and he could see existing programs expand to include early education. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Ellie Moxley.